All right, hello everybody. This is the TFUMC Worship for the Week podcast, a show highlighting the week ahead at Thomasville First United Methodist Church in Thomasville, Georgia. My name is Tim Peck, Director of Worship Arts, joined as always by Church Administrator Floyd White.
That's right. And you know, after our first podcast post, someone from outside of our congregation asked it or said that they thought that the TF stood for Tim and Floyd.
Oh, that's
United Methodist Church. So it is not Tim and Floyd. It's Thomasville First United Methodist Church.
That's right. I hear you ran a pretty fancy race the other day.
Ooh, yeah. I'm still feeling the effects of that. This past weekend, I missed worship on Sunday. I went down to Jacksonville. I ran what's called a Spartan Super.
Whoa.
So it was an obstacle course race, and it was... Man, it was a tough race, but I finished. That was the goal. I finished, had a good time.
Yeah, they didn't have to carry you off the field or anything.
No, but it was a near thing. I mean, it was quite a race.
That's awesome. One day I'll get there.
You want to go ahead and sign up for...
Well, you ran the Spartan race. I went to Donuts for Dad this morning, so I'm not going on that level. Cool. Well, let's talk about some things happening at the church this week. Tell us about what's going on with Family University this week and then how that relates 2 weeks from now.
Right. So we're wrapping up Family University. And just real quick, if this is your first time listening to us, Family University is our Wednesday night effort to add some adult discipleship opportunities for the people who are here on Wednesday nights. We have programming for the children and for the students and for adults through Family University. So they're short-term small groups. We have everything from Bible studies to not Bible studies, like I'm currently involved in the Family University group that is learning to play bridge. This Wednesday will be the last week of that.
Okay.
Next Wednesday, we'll have Ash Wednesday, where we won't have programming because we will have a service following church night supper. And then the week after that, I guess that is March
the 13th,
is when our second round of Family University will kick off.
And if you heard our Ministry Spotlight podcast, which came out on Thursday, you heard a little bit from our youth director, Jacob Hinckley. He was talking about one of those Wednesday night offerings, which is the Youth Bible Theater, where they're doing some role playing to put themselves into those Bible stories, and it just illuminates in new ways for them.
And it does. I applaud him for that kind of forethought and taking the time to meet the kids where they are, do something different. I can actually remember when I was a student here, my youth director, we did this. It was in some ways it was a Bible study that turned into a theatrical type of experience because we studied how the group of people that the Pharisees, Sadducees, how they, why they felt like Jesus had to die. So each of us were divided into groups. We were divided into groups, and we each studied kind of what did the Sadducees believe? What did the Pharisees believe? And so then we acted out what might their meeting have been like to when they decided that Jesus must die. And I can remember I played the role of Caiaphas, the big bad guy. And so maybe it's because I'm competitive or what, I don't know, but I felt the need to win, and only after I succeeded and we voted to crucify Jesus, did I turn to God and be like, oh, what have I done, So anyway, I kind of applaud Jacob for doing this. Good idea.
All right. A couple of things highlighting next week, really quickly. We mentioned Ash Wednesday next week. There's also the Family Fun Night on Friday night, March 8th. We've got Jesse, the juggler, Joiner is coming in. I hear that's just a delightful experience.
Absolutely. And probably... there's going to be some near-death experiences there as well. So, I mean, you should be here for that. 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Building.
That's right. All right, so let's dive into the message for this week. We should mention that we are going to be joined by Reverend Marshall Singletary this week.
All right, so Marshall Thomasville First United Methodist Church is, I think, unique in our conference in that many pastors choose to retire in Thomasville. It's such a great place to be, and many of them choose to attend regularly at Thomasville First, and so Marshall is one of those. Mm-hmm. He is a retired United Methodist pastor.
Yep, and so we're going to talk about the lectionary passage for this week, which focuses on the story of the Transfiguration,
which is a churchy word,
yes.
You know, but basically it means almost like a metamorphosis, right? So in this passage, and it's recorded in other Gospels, but we are in Luke chapter 9. We're going to be down at verses 28. Mm-hmm. We're going to go down through...
The Transfiguration 36. Part goes through 36. The lectionary also goes through verse 43, talking about...
It's got
about
that like in parentheses, so I'm
kind
not
of
sure
the
what
epilogue
that's about.
To the story.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, this story, among several others recorded in the Bible, is the origin of the saying that we have where we say a mountaintop experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so mountaintop experiences are unique ways that we encounter God. That's kind of how we think of them in today. And so we see one of these experiences here. Jesus takes his friends, Peter, James, and John. They go up onto the mountain and pray. And then we see the actual transfiguration event. Something, as Jesus was praying, something changed in his appearance. His clothes changed.
Yep.
This version, the NIV, says his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning, right? And then maybe as your eyes are refocusing, all of a sudden Moses and Elijah are there, and it is quite an experience, so much so that Peter, James, and John are basically saying, we need to stay here forever.
Yes.
I mean, we've just experienced something,
right.
You know, and we need to stay here. And, you know, even a cloud comes upon them, covers them. They were afraid as the cloud came. And then a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. So this is the Transfiguration experience, and it is a mountaintop experience.
What's interesting to me is if you think about, there are probably moments along the way where people like Peter and John and James would have said, okay, yeah, but, okay, Jesus, I see, okay, yeah, I see what that's very convenient that person was healed. Okay, maybe there were extra loaves in the baskets and all of that, but this is one of those where when someone after the fact says, well, how do you know, Peter, that he's really the Son of God, this is the first thing that pops into his mind. And he's saying, I just know. I can't tell you how I know, but I know. There's no denying, if you're at this event, that you have to be changed after this.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt.
And that's what's so... Sometimes we lose sight of this, that when we read the Bible, when we read these scriptures and these gospel messages, we are hearing from people who had first-hand experience.
Yes.
They saw this. They witnessed this. And now, they may seem stories to us, but these people just wrote down what they saw.
That's right.
And let's face it, in our system today, in our judicial system, people are put to death on witness testimony. I mean, witness testimony is of extreme importance. And so here we are. We're not just hearing some flashy story, lightning flash clothes, whatever, but we're hearing a firsthand account, and this was miraculous.
And most of these writers actually had to have someone else dictate it for them. They had to dictate to someone else because they wouldn't have been able to write this down. They went to great lengths to make sure that their stories were heard.
That's right.
And I mean, you get skewered online for tweeting something, but if they had done the same thing as tweet this out in the open, they would have been killed.
That's right.
Back in the day.
That's right. And oral testimony in these days was the primary way of passing knowledge down, you know? So it was extremely important, and their witness testimony was good.
Yes. Yes. So let's talk a little bit. This week also hints for us towards Lent. This is the final Sunday before we begin Lent. And so working together with our creative designer, Kelly Warnock, we are creating a bit of an interactive experience for you. We're not going to tell you the whole thing, but we're going to tell you that if you're at the Contemporary Service this Sunday, there's going to be an interactive portion that's going to help us with our creative design that will go churchwide. And so this will also be, those of you who are not in the Contemporary Service will have the opportunity in your Sunday school classes to help us with this as well.
Yeah, and it's not just interactive as far as decorating a backdrop. It's interactive because we're going to be asking you to do some spiritual business with God, is how I would put it.
Which is the purpose of Lent.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. And so this will be a step, a way to aid you in your preparation for mm-hmm. Lent.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes it's the intentionality of stopping for a moment and trying to have that interaction with God, and it's sometimes a very quiet way, not always the loud corporate worship way, but sometimes a very quiet and still way that we see God moving the most. And so we look forward to seeing some of those. So Lent is about transforming your heart and centering yourself with God throughout the season. And as we look ahead to the worship for this particular week, we'll start with the Contemporary Service at 8:45 on Sunday.
I mean, you got a song there called Transfiguration.
It is one of the easiest songs to program all year.
There you go.
One of my thoughts going into this week was to leave space for worship. Sometimes, and we spoke about the song So Will I, parentheses, 100 billion X, yes. 100 billion times. We talked last week about that song is like a hymn in the sense that it's got new text throughout the entire, there are some repetitive elements to it, but for the most part, it's new the whole time. This week, we're going to hear a little bit more repetition in the worship, and that is designed to allow the congregation to not think so much about the words, not to concentrate on the words or trying to keep up with the screen or whatever it is, but to think about what they're hearing and to make sure that they are communicating with God during that time. The first of these songs is How Great Is Our God.
I like that one. That is that Chris Tomlin?
That is. That's one of the oldest Chris Tomlin songs, I think, that's still sung. It's one of the top songs sung in churches everywhere because it's a powerful song. It's simple in its declaration, and it's affirming that he is great. And he wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide from him. The illustration of the transfiguration, his changes from sort of clothes that might have been riddled with dust and just wear and tear, and they were transformed into white, bright white, as bright as a flash of light.
That was a good choice.
Yes. So signifying also the way that as we are covered in his blood, our sins are cleaned. We are washed in white when we accept him into our lives. And so it's, I think Transfiguration is a great Sunday to sing that song and to declare that message. The next one is Transfiguration. This one may be one that not everyone's familiar with. It's within the last 5 years or so that this song has come through. It's
a
Hillsong Worship. Yeah, Hillsong Worship. There's actually only a live version of the song available. But let me just speak a couple of lines of text here. As I behold your beauty with unworthy eyes, the only song my soul can find to sing is hallelujah. Now I know I have seen your glory that cannot be unseen. I am changed and changing still as I look upon you, Lord, and believe. That's a statement. That's a statement saying, I was once this old man, this former person, and now I have seen you. We talked about that someone like Peter could not shake this image from his mind. This is something that confirms for him that he is, that Jesus is the Son of God. He hears God speaking to him on that mountaintop, and we put ourselves into that situation here, and we say, we have seen his glory, and we cannot unsee it. We are changed. We're still changing, and we believe him. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And those, I mean, the song is perfect for this Sunday. One line says, what was veiled now is seen. Mm-hmm. Another part says, lead my longing heart to the high ground, yep. like the mountaintop yep. experience. And then, holy is the Lord revealed before my eyes. So, beautiful, good selection.
Well, and again, with the interactive, approach that we're taking with this creative design, we want you to be thinking about how God can move in your lives. Mm. And so if you are not ready to see God move, then you will miss it.
That's right.
God is moving.
That's right.
But you have to be aware of it. And when you're aware of it, you're ready to receive it. And so we allow for the movement of the Holy Spirit. The third song of our contemporary set is called Holy Spirit. And this is going to be a very familiar one to church members.
Looks like Francesca Battistelli. Is that?
Yeah, she's the one.
So
she's
we
the
hear one her on the radio.
She is someone who is has a mixture of songs that are mostly radio concert style songs, which speak to Christian audiences in a very meaningful way, but maybe don't work as well on a Sunday morning. But this is also one that you'll hear a group like Jesus Culture with Kim Walker Smith singing, because we are singing to God. So often the music that we hear on the radio sings to the congregation, and that's wonderful and is necessary. But this song speaks to the Lord. And we invite that Holy Spirit, let us become more aware of your presence, meaning God's presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. And that's a moment where it shifts from personal language, such as there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You are our living hope, your presence. And so we await that. And then we shift to the corporate call, almost like what we would think of as like gang vocals in a pop punk song I used to listen to. Let us become more aware of your presence. We are calling out. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, this may sound silly, but if you sing this and you mean it,
yeah.
You might have an experience that you haven't had before, or an experience that you need anew. And in other words, if you say to God, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, and then you say, let us become more aware of your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness, He is likely to answer that, you know? And so it's we have to approach these songs. If we truly want to offer worship and praise, and we, you know, young people these days are all about experiences.
That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that we have to be prepared.
Yes.
To have those experiences and to even expect them. And so I would just encourage folks: look, when you say that or sing it like you mean it.
Yeah, and I'll also mention too that. Often when we think of contemporary worship, we see individuals in our mind, we see individuals who are kind of swaying back and forth, and they've got their hands in the air, and they're singing loud. And I wanted to mention to you that the raising of hands in that type of experience is not unsimilar, or not so different from reaching out your hand in prayer. When someone needs healing, you reach out your hand in prayer as an extension of that prayer, and that it also signifies that we are we need help. When we put our hands up, we are saying we need help. We need God to come into this place and heal us, to take control of our lives. And so I don't want you to be afraid in that setting to raise up your hand, to invite Him to come and bring aid.
And that's to me what our ultimate desire is for everyone in the room is authentic worship.
That's right.
And so if you have a fear of what people will think if you do it, I would say that's a perceived fear, but is not a real fear.
For sure.
I do not think that the people in that room care, you know? And so sometimes I can be a hand raiser, and sometimes I can be a foot mover too, mm-hmm. you know. But sometimes that happens to me, not because of a conscious choice to mm-hmm. do so, but of just a feeling of surrender, and my hands go up, mm-hmm. you know. And so I be open to it. Don't be scared of it, but don't force it either.
That's right. Yep. How Can It Be, our fourth song, which will occur during communion when we're after we've
begun
to take
communion. I
noticed
you don't have a question mark on there.
Nope. Nope. It's more of a declaration.
Ah.
Yeah. So how can it be?
How can it be?
How can it be? it conveys to me that this song speaks a lot to me. Because often we feel that we fall short. We've spoken in previous weeks that we know we fall short. So why would God choose us as his creatures to favor? We know our own hearts. And this is one where we sing out loud, how can it be? The chorus of this song, you plead my cause, you right my wrong, speaking to the Lord. You break my chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? It's a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, and a desire for more understanding, more communion with God. And so I look forward to, we actually will encourage our congregation to begin the worship experience of this song during communion. And so it's going to be a very active song. And I just can't wait to see how this song moves this week in our congregation.
That would be cool, because you could be in the group coming forward to receive communion, and if you are in the proper mindset, you are repenting at this time. That's what communion is about. But you're also singing, you plead my cause. See, this is what God does.
Yes.
He pleads our cause. He rights our wrongs. He breaks our chains. He overcomes. He gave his life. Mm-hmm. So that's what's so good about this song, especially in that moment of communion.
Well, and I'd like to highlight the final word on the first line, if you think of the lines as in couplets of the text here, the first final word of most of the first lines, guilty, mm-hmm. dirty, hiding, doubt. That's what we're referring to.
Yeah.
We are in a state of this. Countered almost immediately by the final words being, Holy One, you love me, grace now. Hmm. And so I think that was a really, it's just a beautiful, it's almost written as a hymn in the sense that hymns have often beautiful text. This is an example of one of those, I think.
Cool.
And our final song will be Here I Am to Worship, another one that is familiar to longtime churchgoers. But if you're not a longtime churchgoer, this is one where we proclaim that we are ready to receive that worship, as we spoke of a moment ago. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And later on it says, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So during Lenten season, we think of that we place our sins upon the cross. Jesus took those sins, and in defeating the devil through the resurrection, was able to take away all of those sins. He was able to win the victory against the devil in place of us. We wouldn't be able to do it without him. We give him our sins, and he delivers us. And so we are here for that worship. And I'm really, like I said, I'm really looking forward to the worship experience this week.
Should be good.
Briefly touching on the traditional service, an anthem that really kind of pops to mind here is "Be Thou My Vision." It's a choral setting of the familiar hymn. It's one of my favorites. Are you familiar with this one?
I do love that song. Yeah. you want me to give you a few? No, I'm not going to give you a few lines of it.
One of the ones that's the most meaningful to me is the closing lines here of the at least the arrangement that's in the hymnal. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. And I think this song is a song that speaks in times of grief and mourning. And when we're searching for a way to just move forward, we move forward with God as our vision, as the ruler over everything. And so we're proclaiming that we know that we are unclean. We know that we need healing in our lives. But no matter what happens, He is the ruler. He is in control.
You've got to be sharp in hymns.
Yep.
Right? And I don't mean like tuned sharp. I mean, focused. I mean, you've got to be focused. So because you are following a melody and because oftentimes the words are put in a hymn format that doesn't necessarily match our speech patterns, mm-hmm. you really have to pay attention to what you're singing. Mm-hmm. And so the good part about Be Thou My Vision is that most people are very familiar with the tune, so maybe they can concentrate more on what they're saying. But you know how the lines can break over phrases. You really gotta be sharp, and so pay attention, folks, when you're singing.
Yeah, this tune is called Slain, S-L-A-N-E. There's a place called Slane Castle in Ireland that's actually, I believe, of the same namesake. But it's a very familiar tune, and there are beautiful orchestral, and even I've played a guitar ensemble arrangement of this tune. Beautiful tune, but also really powerful text here by the translation of by Mary E. Byrne, and then versed by Eleanor H. Hull. So again, another one that received sort of a lot of help to get to the version that we have now, but just a beautiful refrain pointing our minds and our hearts up to the Lord this week.
And then you've got that last familiar one too, My Hope Is Built. Mm-hmm. I love that one. That kind of my life verse or life lesson for me is the passage out of Matthew where Jesus talks about the wise and foolish builders. Like the wise man listens to Jesus' words and then acts upon them and builds his foundation on the rock. So anything that talks about being built, I have a tendency to have a little antenna that goes up and says, pay attention to that one.
Well, and even bringing it back to the Transfiguration story, Peter is told by Jesus that he is the rock upon which the church will be built. Mm-hmm. And so he's the foundation. So through the Transfiguration experience, he, I'm sure, was very purposeful, Jesus was, to make sure that Peter was one of the ones who was there to see it. So that there would be no doubt in his mind when he went on to start the church that there was the foundation through Jesus that was the foundation and what we think of as the cornerstone of our faith and our church and why we're here worshiping today.
Super awesome.
Yep. So as we wrap up, we want to just encourage you again to listen to each of these podcasts on our podcast page, www.tfumc.com/worship/podcast. We have services on Sunday at 8:45 a.m. in the Fellowship Building for Contemporary Worship and 11 a.m. In the Sanctuary for Traditional with Sunday School in between.
Don't forget Wednesday night suppers.
That's right.
5:30 in the Fellowship Building. This week's enchiladas.
Enchilada.
Yeah.
It's going to have a Spanish flavor.
Nice.
I cannot wait. Take care.